Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody. It is your girl, Cy Brown, and I am coming at you live from New York City, just hanging out, bringing you your daily dose of urban inspiration, pop culture, fabulous me, and all my good stuff. You know, I just and just swear I'm just the most fabulous this. We have a great show. I have a wonderful author who I'm going to bring into the show momentarily. You know something, y'all know, just even yesterday in the chat room, for the very first time, I was able to post our conversation from the chat room directly onto my blog, which is something that I've never done. You know, we're just learning and growing and developing the show every single day. So I thought it was pretty cool. But during yesterday's show, we were talking with my friend DeJuan, who lives in Atlanta, and we were, excuse me, I'm choking down the rest of my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I think you guys know, I've told you, I eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day before I go on the air. So sorry about that. Just trying to get the chunky peanut butter down. But we were talking about the church and the true meaning of the church and just, you know, what it was about. And the conversation actually segue into Dropping Seed Radio, who's Pastor Montan McDonald in Tennessee. He said he's working on a book, and then Tiff from Cali was like, I need to write a book because everybody's writing a book. And then TrueView said, listen, this lady, you have to go to the Black Authors Network, and her name is Ella. And then so one thing stumbled into something else. And so I decided to make today's show a little bit about publishing. So y'all know I just know tons and tons of people. So I reached out to my friend, and I'll tell y'all how we met in a little while. I reached out to him. He wrote his book. And, you know, I always say support people who come onto the show and, you know, get his book, check it out. But the thing about him, and I'm keeping his name quiet for a second, and his book is because it doesn't by nature typically fit into the dialogue of my show. But and he was a little apprehensive. He's like, Cy, you know, my book has cursing in it. And I was like, well, you're a person, and we're going to talk about your story, your process, your evolution. You'll be fine. So anyway, we're going to talk about his book in a second. But the point is, these shows just kind of flow. My show flows from one day to the next. And, you know, I put my heart and soul into it to bring you guys the absolute best show every single day. So I literally took where the show left off yesterday, which was about writing, and Tiff wants to write a book, and everybody wants to write. And so here we are today with authors. So that just gives you reason to tune in to me every single day, weekdays at 12 o'clock. And for those of you that missed the live broadcast, feel free to go to iTunes because you can listen to the podcast through iTunes. Just log on to www.liferemixedradio.com, and then you can go to the click the listen live button. So on that note, let me jump into our daily thought for today, courtesy of Hillside Chapel and Truth Center. See, you know what? I got a little better, everybody. I don't know if you little heard that little chirp. I turned it off on my cell phone of the little ding, so now everybody's not hearing my twits coming in all day. So now you're just going to hear like a little bird chirping. So you guys probably just think it's like a bird in the studio or something like that. But anyway, yeah, follow me on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/Cy Brown. You know, last night was Wednesday, and every Wednesday I am parked on my bed, typically with popcorn, watching Project Runway. So if you missed Project Runway last night, unfortunately, Kenley did not get voted out. I wish they would just get rid of her. So anyway, that's where I was last night. But if you followed me on Twitter, you would have seen me twitting and blogging that I was watching Project Runway last night. I just want to say hello to everybody in the chat room. Hey, Miss V, on the scene. How are you? It's a pleasure seeing you. I missed you. Hello, Mr. John Williams. Hey, TrueView, and thanks for everybody who's hanging out with me today. Shameless plug, theauthor.us. It's okay, John. It's all right. We love you anyway. Shameless plug. It's all good. And, yes, it will be going on my blog. So you'll get an invoice. Just want to say hello to Large and In Charge Radio. We have a very, very busy chat room today. This is going to be a good thing. Let me get into my daily thought real quick so we can bring my author in, and we're just going to be, oh, she said hugs to Jeff Sean. This must be somebody that he knows. Yeshua, you are just a techo addict, sigh. It's all good. Yeah, you know what? I am. Let me get into this because I want to get into my guest. Anyway, all right, so for today, which is Tuesday, oh, my God, I keep saying today is Tuesday, Thursday, October 2nd. I don't know why I keep thinking today is Tuesday. Strength is the energy of God. The revealing word describes strength as the energy of God. All strength originates in spirit, and God is spirit. It is not power or might to control others. It is inner strength that allows me to use my wisdom, imagination, faith, and zeal to energize me and propel me to my goals. We are all spiritual beings possessing every good thing from our Father. We will never lack in any area of our life. When things appear bleak, I remember I have the strength of God to stand on my faith. I use combined fortitude, understanding, and love of Christ and my ancestors within me to overcome any human injustice. I affirm, Spirit is in me right now doing its perfect work. I create new experiences of victory. I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Strength is the energy of God. Thanks, God, and so it is. And today's scripture reading comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the laws which Moses, my servant, has commanded you. Well, there it is, everybody. Wait, who's, I'm reading in the chat room. Stop saying today is Tuesday. But yeah, I don't know what it is with me. I think time is flying. Anyway, I just want to speak to the strength issue. Yeah, I really go by my inner strength because without it, I think I would have lost my mind already. But anyway, hey, everybody, I'm going to bring my guest in right now. Jay, are you there with me?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing today?
I'm good. And listen, don't be shy. Don't be. You better talk it up and you better talk up your book. Everybody, my friend who is on the line with us, joining us today, his name is Randy Jackson, a.k.a. Just Sean, and he is the author of The Patterson Pen. And his book pretty much, well, you know what, I'm not even going to get into it. Randy, tell us a little bit about your book, and then I'll get into being nosy and asking all my questions because I want to talk about your kids. I want to talk about how we met. I want to talk about your years in the Army, talk about Jehovah's Witnesses. So tell us a little bit about who you are, and then I can get into questions.
Well, the book is more like, you know, it's a great read, you know. I've been hearing a lot of good things about it, you know, and it's something that can entertain you and educate you, you know, the young and the old. I was real happy to hear about that from a lot of people who read it. From the age of, like, I had people tell me from the age of 16 years old up until people the age of 70 years old that they, you know, they loved it, the book. So, you know, I just, you know, hope it continues to do the best that it could do, you know. And once, you know, I always said that I didn't want the people to get distracted by the book cover. You know, you have to really dig inside and read it to really find out what the book is about and what I'm about, because the book deals with police brutality, religion, marriage, divorce, relationship, rebound. It deals with many things.
Well, I'm going to read the back of the book, everybody. And it says, born in Patterson, New Jersey, to a Jehovah's Witness mother and a subservient workaholic father, Randy L. Jackson's childhood was dominated and controlled by his obstinate mother and her religion. Hate for his mother's religion and the way his father let his mother rule the household burned inside him like a forest fire. He would grow up with a hatred for all women. Then his brother Silky, an ex-pimp, moved to Patterson from the South with his own hatred inside for being left behind and raised by his grandparents. His brother would begin teaching him the pimp game at an early age. With his brother as his mentor, he knew he would be adept in making every woman pay for how his mother had controlled his father and destroyed his childhood. Randy, whose street pseudonym was Just Sean, would think of himself as an intelligent hoodlum who was criminal-minded. He was out to rob, steal, pimp, and manipulate anyone he came in contact with. In this book, Just Sean will take you from his early childhood days to his days as a petty hustler to his reign as the king of the underground exotic go-go world. This is the story of my life as a Patterson pimp. Well, I have to say this. first of all, I don't know that person because it may say this on the back of the book, but when we met, I didn't get that from you. So I want to talk a little bit about how you got started, and then we're going to pick up the story from there.
Okay. So how I got started in the exotic world.
Before we can even talk about what you actually did, because the show is not meant to glorify that, talk a little bit about what your mind was to get you to that point. Like, there's a lot of hatred and there's a lot of rage, because twice on the back of the book it says he would grow up with a hatred for all women, and then your brother had his own hatred for being left behind and raised by his grandparents. Talk to us a little bit about the source of that. Like, why were you so angry?
Well, you know, at an early age, like I said, you know, I was born into...
Randy, do me a favor. Talk up just a little bit. Talk up just a little bit.
Okay. At an early age, I was like, my mother was a Jehovah's Witness when I was born already. So I adapted that religion, you know, naturally. And I guess I never really could understand it or accept it at that young age. I always said that maybe that Jehovah's Witness was a religion that you should be 18 years old. You know, this is my opinion, where you can make your decisions on your own, because at a young age, you can't really understand some of the rules and regulations. So, I mean, it became to a point where I really started, you know, hating the religion, you know what I mean, with a serious hate. So, you know, sometimes when you start hating things so much, you start hating yourself. And, you know, with all that hate, and hate hurt as a child, you know what I mean? So I guess I was kind of vulnerable to a lot of things, you know, and just looking to be corrupt and out to cause pain because of the pain I received mentally, you know what I mean? But by no means, like, a lot of people misunderstand me and think that I'm saying, like, I dislike my mother or stuff like that. It's just the religion that I couldn't really accept. So... at an early age, I came in contact with my brother, who, like I said, was an ex-pimp. And I guess I was vulnerable and young, and, you know, he just started, you know, poisoning my brain with certain things, and I guess it kind of stuck. You know how sometimes they say it's hard to lead somebody in the right direction, but it's, you know, easy to take them in the wrong direction. Sometimes the areas where you grow up in the neighborhood, you know, good is condemned and, you know, evil is applauded. So, I mean, like, I went from having Willie Mays, you know, as my idol, you know, to having a pimp as my idol. And, you know,
I want to interrupt you and just ask you, so do you feel it was the religion that was debilitating you to be who you were as a person? Because I read the book, and as I was reading, I remember there was a part where you said you wanted to play baseball, and your mother said there's no baseball in heaven. And I told you, I'm going to read this book. Before you come all up to my audience, I have to read the book. But I remember reading it, and you were saying that you really loved baseball and Willie Mays was your hero and this and that. And your mom told you, yo, there's no baseball in heaven. Do you feel like the religion was taking away who you were as a person, so you turned to other things to try to be who you were?
I feel like that religion was... you know, it has its bad points and it has its, the whole thing is that the religion has its good points and it has its bad points. Like, say, like, that's why I'm able to write a book today, because when I was young, like, my mother had me reading so much, it didn't matter if it was an hour a night, it went to 45 minutes to 30 minutes. But then on the flip side, at a young age, like, you can't really understand why you can't celebrate birthdays and you can't have Christmas. And you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't salute flags, and so you always singled out. So I'm not trying to sound like a crybaby or nothing like that, because everybody has a story, and that's it. Sometimes you have to watch what you force on children. It doesn't just have to be religion, you know. It could be a stepfather, or it could be anything, you know. This is just what happened to me from that religion being forced on me. And like you said, like, I did love baseball, but I guess, like I said, at that time, I guess she thought, you know, worship and, you know, the religion was more important than baseball.
Well, you know something? I mean, this chat room is bananas. I just want to read you some of the things that's jumping off in the chat room, and then I want to go to callers. I have a couple callers on hold. So, callers, I see you. Caller from 862, I'll be right there. Caller from 214, I'll be right there. Today we're talking to Randy Jashawn Jackson, who I met when I was hosting an event at a library on how to write and publish your own book. He showed up, and he was, you know, a little, and I'm going to say you on the phone was like a little embarrassed to tell me about the nature of his book. The name of his book is The Patterson Pimp, and it was really basically about his life growing up, the good, the bad, the indifferent, and how he ended up turning to drugs, pimping, and all these other things. But I'm proud to say, extremely proud to say, that when I met you in the subsequent conversations that we've had, you've been very respectful to me. I would have never even known had you not told me. But let me read some of the stuff that's jumping off in the chat room because it is quite busy. Just give a quick shout out to everybody who is joining us. Hi, Miss Smokey, how are you? Hey, Dropping Seed. Hey, Tanisha. Thank you, Tanisha, for joining us in the chat room. True View, my friend. Thank you. We were hanging out late last night in another show's chat room. I finally went to bed, Drew. It was getting late. Yeshu, how are you? Large in Charge Radio. Thank you to everybody that's tuning in. Let me read to you, Jay, some of the stuff that's going on in the chat room, and then we can respond to it, and then I'm going to bring in some of my callers.
Okay.
First of all, it was saying that how Jehovah's Witnesses or Jehovah's Witnesses, it's very strict in that they take it to the extreme. It's the person who can take it the wrong way. Tanisha said, that's true. My life was so strict growing up because of it. Dropping Seed said, oh, he was on another radio show here in Nashville where he lives. Well, congratulations. Kudos to him. Large in Charge Radio was saying she didn't explain it to you right. She should have said not to worship the baseball player and allowed you to play baseball. You can admire but not worship. You're only supposed to worship God. Yeah, I agree. But it's too strict for a child who doesn't want it. I think it can be very strict. And you know what's really funny? And this show is not meant to denigrate Jehovah's Witnesses, everybody. That's not what this show is about. But it's to talk about Randy, his book, and part of his experience. But one of the things I heard is that Janet Jackson's mother was a Jehovah's Witness. And she was so strict that the Jackson children felt debilitated, and they weren't really allowed to do anything. So on that note, let me bring in wow, we got a lot of callers. Holy cow. Caller 62, are you there? Okay, we're going to go to another line. Caller from 862-224, are you with us?
224?
Yes, I am.
Hi, do you have a question, a comment, or are you just listening to the show?
I have a comment.
Okay, please share your comment. You're on the line with Cy and Randy.
Okay, I just wanted to let you know that this is Denise calling. And I just had to gradually hit my own book. Just one more moment. I'm down, but...
No, can you roll up your car window? Or... I can't hear you very well.
Hello? I'll take care of this number.
Hello? I'm going to come back to you in 1 second, caller from 862. Caller from 963-977, do you have a question, a comment, or are you just listening to the show? See, I think you have a crazy face. A lot of people are listening into the show.
I can't hear it. I can't hear them, though.
Yeah, I couldn't hear him either. Unfortunately, I had to mute their line because I couldn't hear them either, and I can't compromise the show because their windows are down. So no,
one of them sounded like my niece, though. I think I heard him.
Okay, well, it's all good. Yeah. Let's move this show along. We talked about a little bit about how stifling your mother was, and I want people to understand. Talk to me a little bit about your father, because a lot of times people say, oh, somebody could get into drugs, can get into pimping because there's no father figure around. But you're saying that's not true, that your dad was there. Talk to us about that.
Well, first I want to say, you know, my mother, she's probably listening to this right now, so I want to say, hey, Ma, I love you, but... I don't want to sound like
hey,
I don't want
to.
I don't want to sound like I'm bashing, you know, her at all. You know, I'm just, I just want to, I'm setting the record straight on a religion since we're talking about what propelled me or point me in that direction. But, see, sometimes I heard what you just said about the father, like most of the times the father not around, and that sways certain people in different ways. But you got to know, like, sometimes people around, but they not really around. You know what I mean? So they can be there, but they not really there. So what I mean like that, my father was a workaholic. So most of the time, growing up in my family, I remember him coming in from work and then going right back out to work. So my mother was basically in control, you know, and she did a good job, you know. And the basic thing I got to think is that I just think that, like one of the somebody in the chat room was saying that, it's a very strict religion, and it can sway you in certain ways when you're young, when your mind is not fully grown. You know, I mean, we all from urban communities that's filled with poverty and, you know, drugs and teen pregnancy and gang violence and all that. That's enough to deal with, you know. And then with a strict religion on top of that, you know, sometimes it's just a little bit too much. So you just grasp for what's wrong. So I think that I just, you know, grasp of what's wrong. I mean, nobody put a gun to my head, but not only just talking about the pimping point of view, you know, I went through some times where, you know, I was just doing crazy drugs. Like once I was turned loose from the religion, I was like a getting shot out of a cannon, you know, because I was kept blind to so many things. So somebody would give me this, I would try that. Somebody would give me that, I would try this. It seemed like I really was trying to get back at somebody, but I probably was only just hurt myself. And now that I'm older, you know, I understand a lot more. You know, can I say that I deal with things in different ways? But you know, sometimes you gotta get over things. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Like, you know, like what I'm really just saying is that this what happened to me. So through the pimping things that I did, maybe I was always trying to get back, you know, at certain individuals in certain ways, you know, because like people that rob banks, you have heard at times, they get a rush from that. Or people who do drugs, they get a rush from that, you know. Like, it's not a good thing to say, and it's not something to be proud of, but, you know, I always got a rush from receiving money, you know, from certain people, certain individuals, and that was my way of getting back or getting even, or that's what I thought at that time.
Well, one of the things that I want to say, too, is that, you know, I've shared on my radio show several times, this is definitely not a situation. I see all the callers in the chat. I mean, I see all the callers, Large in Charge Radio. I see everybody. I'm going to get to your calls in a minute. But I've shared this with my audience several times. And to Mom, who might be listening, I hope you do appreciate the fact that I did say that this was not to denigrate or attack any religion, because the show, the premise of my show, anchors very heavily on faith and being connected to God. But you know something? That's exactly what happened to me. My parents were so strict, don't look at boys, don't talk to boys, you better not deal with boys, you better not deal with this. And then all of a sudden, my son's father came in front of me dangling a gold chain and some tickets to the movies, and next thing I know, I'm 17 years old and pregnant. And it's That's exactly what happened. And the sad part about it is I grew up in church. I knew better. I knew I'm not supposed to be doing this, lying, sneaking, hiding. And then all of a sudden I get myself into a bind, and now I'm like, uh-oh, how did that happen? So I think that one of the critically important pieces is that we learn is that, oh, well, you know what, somebody just, true, you just said it. That's why it's important to teach balance between religion and the real world. And you know what,
right,
you're absolutely right.
Right.
Yeah, my husband says that all the time. Well, and I've also heard other people say, you can't be so heavenly that you're no earthly good.
Right, right.
And that's why when you and I were talking about your book and you were like, sigh, but the book is called The Patterson Pimp, I'm talking about pimping, I said, I don't even care. It's your story. It's your life. Everybody can learn from somebody else. All right, so now we got through the book where you know, your mom was a little controlling, your dad was there but wasn't there. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the salacious stuff. How did you, like, function being a pimp? And then we're going to talk about how you got out of it on the other side of that. Like, how did you, like, what made you do that?
It was just something inside me that, you know, until I did it, I mean, I wasn't going to stop. You know, it was like I was, like, living it and breathing it, you know. And my brother brought it to my attention, it was like, you know, there's nothing else I wanted to do. Like I told you earlier, I went from having Willie Mays as an idol to having a pimp as an idol, you know. And then you got people constantly telling you, well, there's no better way to amount to anything, you know, unless you pimp and get a lot of money, or unless you want to work all your whole life and die. Or, you know, if you're in a relationship, you know what I mean, it's either you getting her or her getting you. And, you know, it's like that's the stuff that my brother was drilling in my brain. And, you know, like women is no good and you can't trust them. And, you know, and they only good for this and that and this. You know what I mean? So I was maybe like 13 and 14, you know, and my brother used to drive me around in his car, maybe younger than that. He used to drive me around in his car and, like, show me his ladies working for him in the street. And, you know, I was young, so I didn't really understand. And, you know, I used to come home and I used to tell my mother, like, certain things about it. She would try to explain it to me. And I don't know, it grew up inside me, like, more like that's all I wanted to do. So I was just out to do it. And I mean, it's not really hard to do, you know, but I don't really want to get into, like, how, you know, how you do it and what you do with it. But I mean, I think everybody knows what a pimp is.
Well, no, everybody in this room is an adult. And I think, you know, we don't need to get into semantics and details like that. I think that would take away the importance of this interview and the importance of why you're here and sharing your story. So I if anybody wants to go into that, then just buy the book. Don't, you know. But let me read you some of the stuff that's jumping off in the chat room. It was just like, oh, God, there's a lot. well, we got back to truthing. That's why it's important to teach balance. And Enlarge and In Charge Radio said, this is just his personal experience, and to share it. And hold on, I just opened up the chat room. Oh, Miss Smokey said, and I love her so much. She helps me in so many things. She's another one of my secret weapons. She was saying, no judgment calls, and that's absolutely true. Tanisha said, what I want to know is what did – oh, here's a question for you, and then I'm going to get to the call. Tanisha said, what I want to know is what did his mother think? What did your mother think, Jay?
About – my profession?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, she was totally against it. But, I mean, you know, how many parents, I mean, you know, can control, you know, really what you're doing or what you're trying to do, you know? Everybody know that when you're maybe 15, 16, 17, and now you're older, I mean, your parents could never think of the things you was doing at that age, you know? So, I mean, she maybe knew what I wanted to do, but, I mean, she was totally against it. I mean, you got to think, my mother's been a Jehovah's Witness for over 50 years. So I feel like if anybody who can be dedicated to any God that long, you know, you got to take your hat off to them. And, I mean, like, just talking about her as a Jehovah's Witness, I mean, it's other points about her, you know, like that grew up inside of me, like, you know, her strength, you know, and, you know, her dignity and things like that. But other than thinking about what I did, she was totally against that.
Well,
but it wasn't like in the book. Nobody could have stopped me from doing it, not even an army and a million machine guns. When I put my mind that I was going to do it, I just was going to do it.
And I did peep that in the book because there, and you know something, this is why I think it is important to impart some sense of religion or some sense of God or spirituality into our children, because I'm going to tell you, in reading the book, there were several times where even though you weren't doing the right thing per se, you had a conscience. There were times in the book when you were out doing your thing and you were like, Dag, I should get back with my baby's mother. Dag, I should do this. And I saw just through your words, your powerful words, that there were times, not necessarily of regret, but I did see where your conscience would peek out every once in a while, but you were so involved in what you were doing, you just had to stay on your grind. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, that's very true. You know what I mean? Like I said, like you said about the book, it's not all about just that, because, you know, I was married, you know, for years, and, you know, I was in the military, you know, and I had great jobs, you know, because I'm a good talker, so I always could land a good job, you know, and I was a real good family man for a while, and I mean, but like you said, it was always something, that was always in the back of my mind, that I knew it was another way that I could get money and plenty of it. So that was always like a distraction in the back of my mind.
That's what it is. Let me take some of these calls because I've got a lot of people on hold. Let me just see if they're listening, have a comment. Hold on 1 second. 973.
That was always in the back of my mind that I knew it was
another. Oh, wait. 973-968. Turn your volume down on your computer. Did you have a question or did you? Are you just listening to the show? Hi, Large and In Charge Radio. Are you calling in for a question or are you just listening to the show today? 973-306. Do you have a question for Randy or are you just listening to the show today?
Yes, I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
I wanted to know, in order for you to forgive somebody, do you feel all of that pain and hurt should go away, wash away, even though it's in the back of your mind?
Can you ask that question one more time?
Do you feel, in order to forgive somebody, do you feel all of that pain and hurt should go away, even though it's in the back of your mind?
Well, like with me, that's like, you know, when a lot of times people say forgive people, you know, I mean, that's like, you know, stabbing somebody and then putting a Band-Aid on it. You know, I mean, the cut is still there to remind you of the pain. So, I mean, I feel, you know, I've never been really a person, you know, I could kind of forgive things, but I've never really been a person that could forget too much that was done to me. It's like always there because, you know, like I said, you could punch somebody and then say you're sorry, but, I mean, they already been hit. I mean, but that's just my opinion.
And what do you think about going to church?
Going to church is okay. I mean, you know, I guess it's all right. It depends. I just got a problem with people who go to church and then they come out and they run to the picket machines, or they come out the door and they light a cigarette, or, you know, and as soon as they get out of church, it's like they're doing the same thing that they was doing all week, because a lot of people got problems with thinking that they can do whatever they want all week and then go to church on Sundays. I guess they call that a forgiving God or whatever. You know, I got a problem with that. So, I mean, like, until I feel like, you know, that I could win respect as a decent human being, and, you know, and then I'm living right, and, you know, I don't really go to church right now.
Okay. Paula, thank you so much for calling in to talk to Randy. Ms. Smokey just said in the chat room, amen. So, yeah, you hit it dead on. Large In Charge Radio, you're on the air with Cy Brown and Joshon. You have a question or a comment? I'm going to put you back on hold. 862-224, caller, you're there. You're on the line with Cy Brown and Randy. You have a question or comment?
I have a comment and a question. This is Nina calling in. I just wanted to call it. Hi, how are you? Nicole from Patterson. I want to congratulate my uncle on all of his success. And I say that I know a lot of people are going to, down me for saying that because of what the book is in reference to. But I'm 32 years old, and what I got out of the book is that women, we need to get ourselves together, that you can allow someone to be able to make you do or control you to do these things, that you don't have enough self-respect for yourself, that there's a problem. That, you know, it's starting from when we're young. And being around my uncle all my life, I didn't learn anything else. I did learn that much, a lot of respect for myself and do what I want to do, regardless of a man. You know what I mean? Work on your own. Like, make your own money. You know what I mean? That's my comment. And
that's,
I love my
I love
you know what, that's beautiful that you call in to support your uncle. I think what you said is right. It's spot on. If women don't have respect for themselves, then this is what kind of happens. Randy, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I do. It's, I mean, that's true. You know what I mean? I thank my niece for calling again because we kind of grew up together. So she's seen a lot of things that I did. And she, you know, that helped keep her on the right path. I just think that a lot of women that fall into the traps of what's going on is like sometimes they from dysfunctional families or, you know, one parent households or, you know, and they run into the wrong person, you know, with promises of this and that, and, you know, and they looking for father figures. And I just think maybe that, you know, like she was saying, maybe parents need to just talk more, you know, and try to communicate more with their children so, you know, they don't run into, well, you're going to run into it everywhere in the world, you know, but it's just, you just got to pray and you just got to talk to your children and try to keep them on the right path and hope, you know, and hope that they do the right thing, you know, because, it's a lot of different tribes and tribulations they're going to run into out here in this world, and, you know, you're going to have to deal with it. You know how they say prosperity make friends, but adversity, you know, that tries them, so it's going to be hard.
It is. It definitely is. Let me bring in another caller. Caller from 214, we're getting ready to bring you in on the air. If you could just turn your volume down. Are you listening? Do you have a question or a comment? You're on the air with Cy Brown of Life Remix Radio and Randy Jackson, the author of The Patterson Pimp.
Hey, what's going on, Mr. Jackson?
Hey, how you
this
doing?
Is John. Hey, this is John R. Williams, the author. I'm a published author myself with Express Yourself Publishing. And much like you, we had a similar upbringing, man. I'm single family home. Father was murdered before I was born. You know, I was the oldest boy. So we got a lot of light, man. I'm interested in getting the book and kind of diving into it. The question I have,
okay. All right.
Yeah, the question I have has more to do with, you know, the kind of statement that you're making and what kind of trials and tribulations did you go through actually writing the book. Myself, I go through a lot, man. It's like you got to expose your life to the public and be able to give so much of yourself. And it's a conflict being a male because it's a certain image that you're trying to fit into. What kind of challenges did you have writing the book, man?
You know, that's funny because it's funny that you say that because it's like I wrote an autobiography when I was like 10 years old and I still got it, you know, and it's funny, I show it to people sometime, and when I was young, I was always writing, you know, on walls, on floors, on anything, so I always just, like, had a knack for writing, and it's like I just started, like, maybe, like, 5 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, I started to write an autobiography, you know, I did the prefix and a couple of pages, and I just set it down, but then I started thinking about it again. I was like, I want to write my life story because, you know, I've been through so much, you know, drugs and the women and the hustling and the con men. And, you know, I did so much and I'm fortunate to still be standing, you know, and alive, you know. So, I mean, I always kind of felt like I had an angel watching over me. So one day I just sat down and I just start writing the book, and I was writing and I had wrote like a couple of chapters, and I went by my sister's house one day and I was kind of reading it to her, and she stopped me and she said that maybe you should, when you're writing a book, drift back and forwards in your life, you know, that make a book interesting. And I was like, yeah, but you cut me off. And she was like, no, because I know the book is going to be good. I know already. You know, and I said, well, I don't even know why I'm writing this book. I just woke up one day and decided to write the book. And my sister said, no. She called me Rand. She said, nah, Rand. She said, God woke you up and told you to write that book. So, I mean, that was deep for me. And but the trials and tribulations, it was like the writing was easy, I had to go to a lot of seminars and, you know, and book signings. Everywhere somebody was giving something, I was there, and I was like a sponge, you know, because, you know, I was just listening to other people's experience because, you know, knowledge is something gained from an actual experience. So whatever somebody had to tell me, I just was just listening and observing it and listening to their wisdom, you know, and I just took that and just went and flew with it.
Man, I think you got a really amazing story. I would definitely like to politic with you, you know, after this, and we can hook up with each other on email. You know, I got a website where you can find out more about me. It's real easy to remember, man. It's www.theauthor.us. Again, www.theauthor.us, theauthor.us. And you won't find, man, we have a lot of light. I admire you, man. My hat goes off to you because a lot of brothers take the easy route. You know, when you think about publishing, well, we got a 20-to-1 ratio. You know, maybe every 40 books is written, 38 of them are by women, 2 of them by guys, and 1 of them is just awful. So I think.
Hey, don't put
something
by women. Wait a minute. Don't be, because you know I got another book coming out this month. You know, I'm gonna let y'all men have your shine, but don't be talking about it.
What I'm trying to articulate is that we're the minority. You know, for every 10 books that's written, 9 of them
right.
are probably by women. You know, it takes a really special man to be able to write a book and put it out and stand behind it. So I'm going to head out to lunch, man. I just wanted to support the show. Definitely hook up with me. I'm not in the chat room, but if you can just find me online, www.theauthor.us, we definitely can politic, man. That's a lot I can learn from you.
Okay, man, thanks for calling, man. And let me tell you one more thing. It's funny that you said that because I got my book is in Black Star Video Music Bookstore in Harlem.
Yeah.
And the book was doing good there. Like, it's been doing good there for, like, several weeks. Lenox Ave, 352 Lenox Ave. And the book was doing good there. And then, back-to-back-to-back, females was writing books, Pepper and Faith and Kim Kardashian, and I was like, where the men at? So I'll just, you know, it's funny that you said that because it's so true.
Yeah. Well, again, I support you, man. Get at me, dog.
Later. All right. Peace.
All right. Thank you so much, caller, for joining us. I just want to read some stuff that's going on in the chat room. Hello, Biomed. On Byline. Hi, my darling. Thank you for joining us. I've got to catch your show. I try to catch everybody else's show who joins me in the chat room, but sometimes my schedule just doesn't allow it. Let me just read some stuff that's going on in the chat room. Large in Charge Radio, she put your site, Jay, on the in the chat room, thepattersonpimp.com. Just to let all of my people that listen know, It's a little edgy. it's a little rough around the edges. Just so y'all don't go and get the book and then say, Sai, why didn't you give me a disclaimer? This is not exactly Christian fiction. but on the same note, I think if we look a little bit deeper and kind of go into the story aspect of it, you'll really see that it's really about redemption. Jay, I'm going to put something out to you right now. I think one of the best parts of the book is the last page of the book.
Okay.
But like the clincher of your entire story. Do I have permission? And you could say yes or no because it's your book to read the last page of your book, or do you want it to be a surprise for people?
No, go ahead, because it's funny that you said that. I just was thinking about that when you was telling people, like, somebody clicked onto the website and you were saying it really doesn't coincide with the show, you know, because of some of the language and, you know, I was saying in my mind, all they need to read is the last page, a couple of pages, and they feel the redemption, you know what I mean, they're feeling.
Well, that's God. You know, that's God. That's how we get down here on Life Remix Radio. We give all credit to God, and that's how we do every single day. Hold on. Okay, everybody, I'm reading to you the very last page of Jashan's book, And it's called The Patterson Pimp. And just based on the show, hey, Spike Spielberg, thanks for joining us in the chat room. The book is about his rise to the pimp game and the fact that he was doing go-go parties and all of this other stuff. But and I told Jay, I said, Jay, I'm going to read your book before I go on the air with your show because I have to know what's in it. And when you read the last page, I think this is the most telling about the man behind the gold chain that you see when you log on to the site. The name of today's show is Rethink Urban Life. And what I'm about to read will really make you rethink urban life and rethink the faces of urban life. Because we always think urban life is grimy, dope drug addicts on the corner, but this is a true story about urban life. So here you go, the epilogue. It's 1 a.m. in the morning, and I'm sitting in my Cadillac Seville outside Alice's Pioneer Go-Go Bar on Freelingshuisen. I can never say that right. It's a street in North. Freelingshuisen. And that's not far from my house. I just can't get it out. Let me start over. It's 1 a.m. in the morning, and I'm sitting in my Cadillac Seville outside Alice's Pioneer Go-Go Bar on Freelingshuisen Avenue in Newark, New Jersey. I'm waiting for my lady baby doll to get off work at 3 a.m. As I sit here, I'm filled with so much disgust and shame. Disgust and shame that I have used so much tenacity to circumvent ways in my life chasing a dream that has made me a legend in my own mind. One of my sons is about 5 minutes away in a halfway house, and I'm wondering how I allowed my life to become so empty and recluse. But perseverance was the word I keep in my mind every time I pick up a pen to write this book. I remember when I first met Baby Doll. I promised her she would be able to stop dancing in 5 years. We've been together 4 years now, and her days are numbered as a dancer. And from now on, hopefully we can let my books do the dancing for our money. The end. Well, here's what I took from it based on reading the entire book.
Uh-huh.
I sit here filled with so much disgust and shame. And you know something? Before anybody can pass judgment on you, before anybody can say, oh, I don't know why he does that, why is he doing that, I think every single person in the chat room, every single person that's going to download this show through iTunes, every single person that has lived, there was a point in life where they were filled with disgust and shame. But I think the most profound thing is when you finish reading a book and you say, like, yo, my son is 5 minutes away, and I'm wondering how I allow my life to become so empty. We don't even realize it's happening. We just look up one day and we're like, dag, how did we get here? Like, what are you doing right now? Like, what are you working on right now to redeem yourself, I guess, to the universe? What are you doing?
I'm writing, you know, and I'm reading everything, and I'm, you know, I'm trying to stay positive, you know, and I'm understanding what I've been through, you know, because I was sometimes in my life, I was on a path of self-destruction, you know, I felt like it, you know, you'd be betrayed by people that you admired, scorned, you know, by society for, you know, the way you live your life and things like that. So right now I'm just reading, you know, writing and, you know, trying to build better relationships with, you know, people who I maybe didn't have them with. And like I said before, you know, trying to, you know, win respect as a, you know, a supreme being, a human being, you know, for maybe one day my son, you know, my daughter could look back and say, you know, my father made an impact on, you know, on this world, you know, because I always said, you know, if my book could help one man, you know, one woman, one child, if it could help, you know, one mother, you know, and setting her daughters, you know, putting her daughter in the right direction. And Mike can help one son, you know, understand his father better, you know. If my book can just help one person, you know, then I felt like, you know, I kind of accomplished something, you know, in this world.
Well,
that's basically what it is.
Well, that's a mouthful. I don't want us to run out of time. We're down to 9 minutes. Let me just pull in another caller. Caller from 973-341. I'm getting ready to bring you on the air. You're on the air live with Cy Brown and Randy Jackson. Are you have a question, or are you just listening in?
It's basically a statement. I grew up with him. My name is Sade. I know him since we were 9 years old.
Hey, Sade.
Hey, what's up? Yeah. I just wanted to let him know that I'm proud of him, and I've been around to see his struggle. And we've talked on several occasions, and, you know, my thing, a lot of the things we did together, my thing has always been, like, the redemption, and, you know, you can do it, you know, you just got to make up your mind and get ready to make that change, and he's well on his way, and I'm proud of him, and basically that's all I wanted to say, that I love him,
thank
I respect
you,
him,
you.
And I'm there for him.
Thank
well,
you
so much. Randy, you have something to say to that?
Yes, sir. That's he's in my book a lot. He's in the book. That's AH. I knew him since I was 9 years old. You know he's AH and Shadi. You know, that's him in the book. And we've been friends since we was 9 years old. And I got a lot of love for the brother. And like you said, he's been there with me through a lot of my trials and tribulations. And I've been with him through a lot of his trials and tribulations, you know what I mean? We all, like, from the streets and, you know, trying to change our life around, you know. He owns a lot of property, you know, and he's a CEO of his own 00 record studio, you know. He's helping his son out. You know, they got a single called Figure Tell Me Out. And we collaborate a lot of times, you know. I love the brother, and I had texted him earlier and told him I would be on the radio show, but I didn't know he was going to be able to listen to it.
But that's a friend right there. You feel what I'm saying? That's a true friend. To be 9 years old, that's a friend.
Yeah. You're right about that. But, Si, let me, before, because I know we're running out of time, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I just wanted to tell people the website they could check out. I mean, it's www.thepattersonpimp.com. And my books are in Harlem, New York, and Black Star. That's 352 Lenox Ave. The book is in the Nubian Bookstore in Morrill, Georgia. That's like 15 minutes from downtown Atlanta in the South Lake Mall. The book is in Atlantic City on Pacific and South Martin Luther King Boulevard at the Atlantic City News Agency. And it's also in North New Jersey at Urban Knowledge Bookstore. But most important, I just wanted to say that the main thing that made me feel good is that when people, you know, I get positive emails, like, I thought I would be, like, ridiculed and scorned a lot, but it seemed like there's a lot of people that's out here that really don't judge, you know, as much. You know, I told you that yesterday when we were talking. I was like, I just hope people don't judge me the wrong way, and you was like, my listeners aren't like that. I'm thanking you again for letting me come on the show, and I'm thanking everybody that was listening in the chat room, all the people that called in, all the people that tried to call in and couldn't get through. And like I said again, the website is www.thepattersonpimp.com, or you can email me at www.thepattersonpimp.com. You know, if you have any questions, or, you know, you just want to talk, or it might be a female out there going through something, or a brother, or a kid, or anybody, you know what I mean? I'm here for you, you know what I mean? And so I owe a lot to you, because you've been the same since the first day we met, you know what I mean? You seen me when I came in there. I mean, I came an hour late, and I always tell people that you stayed a whole hour extra to fill me in on everything that I have missed, and I'm going to always remember that. Always.
Oh, thank you. I mean, you know, it's funny, we are down for the last couple minutes, but I want to get this in, and I'm happy that it came out of your mouth when I said my audience is not like that. I've grown to have it sounds kind of funny, but a pretty personal relationship with my listeners, and one would think, like, how is that possible? Like, I don't know, but I just know that my listeners would not come to my show and judge. They trust my judgment enough to know that anybody I bring before them, whether they are, you know, walking in a three-piece suit or they're homeless, that I'm bringing a story, I'm bringing somebody that's real, because that's why I said in the beginning of the show, nobody can judge anybody. There's times that I would definitely not want to remember in my life, and anybody that's listening or in the chat room, I'm sure at some point, maybe 2, 3, 4, 7, 10 times, there's times that they would like to forget. So it's not about judging anybody. And one of the reasons why I said and wanted you on the show is because you like, Sai, I don't know, it's about pimping. And I said, no, the real story is not about pimping. The real story is about you as a human and you as a person. Do you want to give your final thoughts?
Well, like I said, I got to keep saying the website because, you know, people might want to order the book online, www.thepattersonpen.com. And just hopefully, you know, that as my fame grows, you know, I hope it does, you know, I'll be able to put more positive things in motion and that, you know, we gotta talk more, we gotta listen more, you know, because, you know, wisdom, you know how this wisdom is wise words, you know, and hopefully some of the words I spoke today can be used as a vehicle, you know, to transport some kind of positive energy into someone, you know, and to help them out somewhere down the line in their journey through life. And I mean, look for the next book coming out, you know, that's all I can say. I love you to my mother, you know. And, you know, because I don't want to sound like a basher, you know, like that, you know, because the first part of the show, you know, was basically about that, but, you know.
No, I'm a mom, and, you know, the show is definitely not about bashing anybody's religion, and I hope your mom didn't take it that way. And actually, I don't think she will, just by the nature of how our conversation went. I think it was more about trying to learn and understand versus
right.
Condemning anybody. That's not how we get down here, and that's not how. And y'all know, True knows I'll shut you down, right, True? I have a smile and I have a bubbly heart, but I never hold back that this is my show. I run it, and that's how we get down right here at Life Remix Radio. Listen, everybody, to eight caller 862-264. I'm sorry I couldn't get you on the line. Call at 973-306. I'm sorry I couldn't get you on the line. The phones were just bananas today. So I tried to get everybody if possible on the show today. I tell you all, I love you every single day for listening. Thank you so much for spending 60 minutes of your time that you can never get back with me every single day on the air. I bring you from my heart the best show that I possibly can every day, and y'all know that. And one more thing, too, I'm learning everybody to put, yesterday I did it for the first time, I'm trying to put our chat room up in the blog. Hopefully you'll be able to go to my blog and read what we talk about in the chat room. So that's good. And just remember, everybody, that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is, and wherever you are, God is. I will see everybody back here tomorrow on Friday, October 3rd, 12 noon, right here on Life Remix Radio. And have a good day.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Sai Boogie. That's right, Sai Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.